Didi Blue.
Yes.
Let the world know a bit more about you in regards to some of your health conditions.
Okay. Well, my name is Dee Blue, and I've been diagnosed with heart disease since 2009. Initially, I was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy, which is basically disease of the heart muscle itself. And that same year that I was diagnosed with the cardiomyopathy, when it was found, I went in the hospital. The doctors figured out that there was something wrong because I had an imbalance in my pulse and my heart rate. When I went in the hospital, I had what they call a super VTAC, which they realized that I have ventricular tachycardia, which means that the heart muscle itself skips beats and has irregular rhythms. And while I was in the hospital, I had what they call a super VTAC, and they had to come with the portable defibrillators to get my heart to go back in balance, to get the original rhythm back. And since that happened, right at that moment, they were like, yeah, you're going to need a defibrillator. And a defibrillator is a device that was connected to my heart. Actually, there's two leads that are connected to my heart to where if I go into, I'm at risk of sudden death or cardiac arrest. And if that was to happen, the device that's implanted in my left side that's attached to my heart muscle, it's like a portable defibrillator. The way you see the portables that they go run and grab when they see that your heart is in stress. I'm blessed enough to have one in my chest. So if I do get into an episode of sudden death, which I did have that situation back in 2016, but we could talk about that. If I do go into cardiac arrest or sudden death, I'm blessed to have the equipment to be able to shock my heart back into regular rhythm.
Awesome. Well put. You said what year did you officially get a diagnosis?
2009. May 15th, 2009.
Wow.
That's my defibrillator anniversary.
Wow. And during that year, was it that year that you officially knew that you had a heart disease? I'm trying to get to the gist of the heart disease in itself.
That was the first year. I was, what do they call it when you're like hypochondriac? So I made sure that I stayed with physicals. Like I would get annual physicals. I would, you know, get workups done and things like that. But after the death of my twin in 05, I hadn't really gone to the doctor because I didn't really care about my health after that point. So I hadn't been to the doctor in a number of years. It wasn't until my birthday of 2009 that I started having situations where I couldn't breathe. I had a day, rather, that I couldn't breathe. And I'm asthmatic. And I was taking my pump. I was using my nebulizer. I'm doing all these things to try to get my breathing back in order. And I remember going to the hospital, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, what she said to me, which kind of stuck with me, was she said that I was dying of a broken heart, that my heart muscle was becoming more damaged because I was very depressed and, you know, with all the things that I was stressed with and, you know, things of that nature. But it started off that I couldn't breathe on my birthday. And, I was dealing with a counselor at that time, and she told me to just go to the hospital. Don't play around with it. And I did that, and they found the heart disease, and the rest is history.
Wow. Wow. And you said the rest is history. Regarding your family lifeline, is there any other individuals that suffer from heart disease?
My whole family. It's not even funny. But heart disease runs in my family. So you want the long version or the short version?
Whatever version. works.
Okay. So, when it comes to heart disease, it was not really something that we looked at until 97, when my twin brother was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy, who later died in 2005 while waiting for a heart transplant. But since his, well, prior to his death, my dad died of congestive heart failure by way of diabetes. He was a diabetic, and his heart ended up giving out on him as like a side effect of the diabetes or whatever. And so that was the first time that I actually had any type of experience or even thought about heart disease or anything like that. And then we just started to spiral. So my mom, she was diagnosed in 2007 with, I believe, a cardiomyopathy, but she also had a microvalve prolapse, which I inherited from her, but it was never anything that would give a real issue. It was just one of the arteries that had a wavering chamber or like a collapsed, collapsed lid, you could say, on one of the chambers in her heart. And she ended up getting a defibrillator in 2007. My brother died in 2005. So now heart disease is like popping up, let's say, or whatever. And that was in 2007. Then I get diagnosed with heart disease in 2009. Then my little brother, Damian, who is on the heart transplant list for Tampa General in Florida, he got diagnosed with heart disease. And I believe his came in, they said around 2001, but after my dad died, but the effects of it didn't happen to him until somewhere around 2013, I want to say, somewhere around there. Can't remember the numbers exactly, but heart disease does run in my immediate family. Myself, I did some genetic testing because I'm concerned about my own two children. I have a 7-year-old and a 21-year-old, and I'm concerned about their well-being. So, I did genetic testing. They didn't find anything conclusive and just told me as the technology progresses to continue to do research.
How important is spreading the word regarding heart disease to people, especially people of color? And I'm not taking away from anyone else, but we know that with health regarding, especially heart disease, it's been known to be like a silent killer. How important is it to, spread the word in regards to getting tested and following up? How important is it?
I think that it's extremely important, and unfortunately in our communities, with the food that we eat, the lack of exercise and, things like that, and, just being afraid of going to the doctor, that a lot of people in our community kind of ignore that. Unfortunately, with heart disease, from what I found, like in my family, you don't know. It's an invisible disease, so you don't know until you're affected, whatever. And the importance of being aware and knowing what's going on within your body is extremely important. And I feel like because I look healthy, that I would want to express my concerns to people in our community, women and African Americans and brown, Latinos. And, a lot of it has to do with, like I said, the lack of exercise, the lack of not knowing the foods that we eat, things of that nature or whatever. And I just feel like it's important to spread awareness. So that's why I'm even speaking right now, is because, like I said, it's an invisible disease. So a lot of people don't even know they have it until something happens. They either collapse, have a heart attack, fall dead, or like in my case, aren't able to breathe, or like in my twins' case, their health just starts to deteriorate and you can't figure out what's going on with it until you get like an echocardiogram or an EKG or, you know, some type of extensive testing to make you aware or to figure out if there's something going on. So I think that is very important for people to just be, all it takes is an annual checkup, you know, just to see where you're at, see what your numbers are, see if you got high blood pressure or check your pressure, you know, just as small things, you know, changing the food that you eat or getting some walking in, some slight exercise, things of that nature, watch your weight, things like that, things of that nature.
How frequent do you test your defibrillator?
Oh, so my defibrillator is constantly monitored. So I have at-home equipment that constantly monitors my defibrillator. So it sends reports to my doctors and to the team or whatever to let them know, like, if I'm having any dangerous rhythms or anything like that. But I go in to see a technician for my defibrillator maybe once every four quarters. One time per quarter, I should say. So about four times a year.
How do you feel about that?
Let's just say that one of the determining factors for myself, for my mom, for my little brother who has a defibrillator, one of the determining factors was we want to live, maybe. My twin was offered a defibrillator even down to the last day that he died. And he refused. He said if they were going to cut him, they were going to give him his heart. My dad, I'm not sure if he was ever offered because the technology wasn't as advanced as it was. He died in 2001. My brother died in 2005. And I think that they were just kind of introducing that technology. But when it happened to me, I was like, hell yeah, if I'm going to be here. At the time, I only had my son. So, you know, once it was explained to me that it could help me and I was at risk to suddenly die with the ventricular tachycardia or whatever, I was like, yeah, I'm all for it. Fuck it. Cut me. Put it in. I don't care. I want to be here. So... that was, did I answer your question?
Sure you did. Sure you did. In regards to a pacemaker, could you differentiate a pacemaker from a defibrillator?
Well, my mom actually has a pacemaker defibrillator device. The pacemaker actually helps the heart pump, like keeps the heart in rhythm and helps the heart pump. The defibrillator portion protects you from suddenly dying or cardiac arrest or any of those things that would basically put you out.
Okay. So. Okay. How do you maintain keeping your heart strong?
That's a good question. That's a great question, actually. To keep my heart strong, like just me, through my experience with it and everything that I've gone through, I had to take control of my weight because the more weight you carry, the more stress it is on your heart to carry your body. Like the more, it weakens your, arteries because your heart has to pump harder in order to get the blood to go through all of that body or whatever. So, how I did it was I lost the weight. I exercise as much as I can. I could always do better. There's always room for improvement. When I first lost the weight, I was in the gym a lot and things like that. And I think that that helped me to be able to get the weight off. And, you know, just having healthier habits when it comes to eating and things like that. Did that answer your question?
Sure did. In regards to medications, how many medications do you take regarding your heart disease?
I'm sick of medication, but I take it because, like I said, I want to live. I want to be here for my children, so I don't go against it. I take 3 cardiac medications, but I take them, I take carvedilol, I take Entresto, I take spironolactone, and I take Entresto, carvedilol, and spironolactone. And I take about 6-7 pills a day for my heart, which gets frustrating at times. But like I said, I want to live, so I have to do what I have to do.
Is there life, like a life expectancy in regards to your defibrillator?
To be honest, there's been people that have lived many years with a defibrillator. From my experience, the technology has gotten so advanced that people are living longer. I don't spend time researching that because I don't want it to affect how I move. And I don't want it to build up like a fear factor. You know what I'm saying? So I try to live every day the best that I can, enjoy my family, love, and, you know, things of that nature. One thing that is scary about having the defibrillator is when you go into an episode of sudden death, which I've had and which I've witnessed with my mom, and it's a very scary thing. So,
you know, you have a 7-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was told that you couldn't have a child
mm-hmm.
due to your heart condition.
Right.
What was that like?
That was really an opportunity for me when I found out I was pregnant to attach myself to the promises of God, to attach myself to faith. And knowing that, you know, that God was in control of the situation. In the same way, he allowed me to recognize that I had a condition, to get the defibrillator, to save me from the VTAC when I was in the hospital. I just put all my faith in God because I knew that if I got pregnant, there's a risk factor with every woman that has a pregnancy. But I knew for myself, at the time that I got pregnant, I had a defibrillator, I had the cardiomyopathy, and I knew that I was taking a risk with my life to bring the baby into the world. But I put and attached my faith to God, and I said, you know what? I found me a good doctor and a team, and they adjusted my medications. He told me if I wanted to have my child, I would have my child, and I just rocked out with the Lord. Prayed a lot. Did what I had to do with her and, you know, ate healthy, carried myself. And I was very overweight, but I made it through. And after I had her, though, that's when the congestive heart failure came through. Because when you have a child, the child feeds off of everything in your body. So all your organs have to function properly and things like that. And my heart was working overtime in order for me to have her. So what the risk that I took was the complications of the risk that I took was the congestive heart failure, which I didn't know that I was going to get, but I did know that it was a possibility, but I still was going to have my child. So I did that. And I ended up with the congestive heart failure. So I had to add that into my, into me, into my life, and got with a good team on that. And I'm living.
So congested heart failure.
Congestive
heart failure. I am hearing so much. What is congestive heart failure?
Congestive heart failure is when the heart doesn't pump properly and it allows you to build up with fluids and it makes you struggle to breathe. You can't walk up a flight of stairs without struggling. There's a lot that you can't do with congestive heart failure. And it's important to get on the right medication regimen with congestive heart failure. Congestive heart failure is a disease of the heart, and the heart doesn't necessarily function the way a healthy heart does. So it's slow, it's delayed. Like you need to have certain medications to help that, to rebound, like to help you rebound off of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Is there anything else that you would like to let the world know about who you are and what it is to live with a heart disease?
Who I am and what it is to live with heart disease. Who I am. I'm still trying to figure out who I am. who I am and what it is to live with heart disease. Who I am is someone that cares about others. And if there's anything that I can say or do or bring light to, I would like to do that. Like I feel like for who I am, I've always been the type of person that cared about others. So that's why I have ambitions to still do an awareness where I'm, you know, bringing information to, you know, people. Like one thing that I just wanted to say was, as a people, we almost feel invincible at times, and like, oh, that can't happen to me, or I don't need to go to the doctor, or I'm going to keep drinking, smoking, and doing all my wild out, and, you know, all of those things or whatever. But at some point, God will sit you down. And if you know that you're doing those things, then it's important to check in with your health. You know what I'm saying? As you're moving through and as you're going. And one thing that I want to say is, like, my twin, he was diagnosed when we were 23. He died when we were 30. In the interim of that time, prior to that time, he didn't go to the doctor. He didn't check in on his health. He didn't, you know, he felt like, you know, I'm a young man and I'm invincible. Like, I don't need to check in with the doctors. I'm chasing this rap dream and I'm smoking and I'm chilling and sipping my Henny and, you know, all of those things or whatever. But it ended up catching up with him. So I just say that to say that there's a lot of people that are now, you know, grinding for their businesses and, you know, trying to make a name for themselves, especially with the music, because I'm still, you know, attached to the hip hop and things like that. And I see it over and over again with my friends that are in the music and things like that, that I'm constantly like, yo, go get a physical, make sure that you're good, try to get some insurance or whatever. So if you're chasing a dream and you're young and you feel like it can't happen to you, it can. It could definitely happen to you. We're dying younger and younger with the foods that we eat, even the air that we breathe. So it's better to know than to not know, you know, to, you know, be on top of your health, you know.
Well put. We appreciate you, Dee Dee Blue.
Appreciate you. Thank you.